When accurate data goes into an algorithm, it can sometimes spit out inaccurate and harmful results. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. Here on Marketplace Tech, we've been talking about credit scores and the algorithms that create them. While your score is generated from data about you, the way algorithms are designed is often based on broader financial trends.
Many times, credit scores are built on a history of all kinds of other aggregate data. So people who look like you.
Safia Noble is a professor of gender studies and African American studies at UCLA. She writes about how algorithms can perpetuate racism and gender bias.
And this is where we start to get in trouble, because if you are part of a group that has traditionally been denied credit or been offered predatory products, then your profile may, in fact, look more like those people, and you will be dinged.
You might not have access to loans or a mortgage, better rates on insurance. This is part of a bigger problem.
So credit scores very much are reflecting of the history of discrimination in the country.
David Silberman is a senior fellow at the Center for Responsible Lending, and before that, spent a decade at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, plus years in the financial services industry. So he's spent some time thinking about how algorithms can reflect privilege or lack thereof.
If one starts out without any wealth, with limited income prospects, the kinds of credit you can get is going to be affected.
For instance, payday lenders concentrate in African American and Latino neighborhoods and tend to offer loans with less favorable terms. So borrowers who use those lenders could be more likely to default.
Your ability to repay that credit is going to be affected, and that's then going to itself find its way into credit scores.
According to payments processor Shift, white Americans have an average FICO score of 734, a pretty good score for most financial products. But for Black Americans, it's 677. A lower score can equal higher interest rates or being denied a loan. Since accurate historical data can still create biased algorithms, lots of researchers and businesses are looking for new options to determine creditworthiness. But that can be risky, too.
Bias can creep in absolutely anywhere. Most people talk about bias in the data, and that's somewhat of an obvious thing.
Nicholas Schmidt is CEO of Solas AI, which vets algorithms for disparate impact. He walked me through one example of how bias can creep into a seemingly neutral data set. Take an algorithm to assess credit risk. When it came to people who didn't pay credit card debt,
the best predictor was how often you shopped at a convenience store.
At gas stations, strip malls, even freestanding stores like Patron Convenience Store in Southeast D.C., where it's busy on a Wednesday morning with people buying lottery tickets and snacks.
And I thought about it. What do you get at a convenience store? Cheap beer, cigarettes, bad candy, and lottery tickets. Those are all probably pretty well correlated with risky behavior, which is probably well correlated with bad credit card outcomes. Seemed reasonable.
But then Schmidt and his team thought about it some more and realized there was a gaping hole in that analysis: food deserts. According to the USDA, food deserts are areas where people are low income and don't have easy access to a supermarket or large grocery store. In 2021, about 13.5 million people lived in food deserts. And guess where many of them shop?
So here I have pizza and frozen chicken, and I have here frozen vegetables and frozen fruits.
Ikram Aman is a cashier at the Penway Market, a convenience store in a strip mall also in Southeast Washington, D.C., which doesn't sell beer or lotto tickets, but is in a food desert.
Most of the people who come here, they use their EBT to buy some groceries.
That's electronics benefits transfer used for several food assistance programs.
They say because it's convenient for them, and for people especially who don't drive, it's very convenient.
Aman says most of her customers come from the neighborhood and walk to Penway Market, sometimes sending their kids to pick up food for dinner or some of the household goods packed into the shelves of the narrow store. Nicholas Schmidt from Solas AI says when an algorithm lumps all these people together,
what you're going to do is you're going to capture the risky behavior of whites in the suburbs who are going to convenience stores and buying lottery tickets and bad candy and bad beer.
But you're also going to capture creditworthy people in cities, low income and people of color, sure, but also wealthier people in dense cities shopping at bodegas.
And so that's an example of discrimination creeping in through what at first looked to me like a reasonable factor.
Schmidt doesn't know if that particular variable ended up in the lender's final model. Financial services firms often adjust their models to account for built-in biases. But, says David Silberman at the Center for Responsible Lending, there's only so much these algorithms can do.
There may be tweaks that will, on the margins, bring more people into the system or give a fuller picture of their creditworthiness by looking at a richer set of data. But I think that's marginal. It's not going to deal with the fundamental problems of inequality that we have to deal with.
Next week on the show, we'll have more of our series on credit scores and the algorithms behind them, including the history of credit scores, what happens when you don't have a score, and alternatives to the system we have today. Jesus Alvarado, Sasha Fernandez, and Daniel Shin produce our show. Gary O'Keefe and Becca Weinman are our engineers. Amanda Peacher is our interim senior producer. A special thanks to Diantha Parker for helping us edit our credit score series. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.